ever really stop to think about what makes a city green? You know, beyond just like parks and recycling bins. Today, we're going deep into urban climate action around the world. We want to cut through some of the promises, the big ideas.
And get to the surprising realities on the ground. Because cities are just, well, fundamental to our future, aren't they?
Absolutely.
So understanding how they try to become sustainable, and crucially, where things sometimes go wrong, that's what we need to unpack.
Right. We'll look at how this whole green city idea has changed.
And some of the unexpected challenges that pop up, good intentions meeting messy reality.
Okay. Our mission here is to pull out the key insights from reports, from real-world examples, just give you the clearest picture we can.
So where do we start? How has this idea evolved?
Well, it's broadened out a lot, hasn't it? It's not just pollution control anymore.
No, definitely not. People now talk about green urbanism, which is, you know, more holistic. It tries to weave sustainability into everything.
Like transport, food systems.
Exactly. And importantly, trying to bring in social equity, economic fairness. It's supposed to be the whole package.
But there's always a but, isn't there?
There often is. And here, what's really fascinating and a bit troubling is this thing called the implementation gap.
Ah, yes. The gap between the glossy policy documents and what actually gets built or done.
Precisely. And lurking in that gap is a major, often completely unintended consequence, which is green gentrification. It's this really painful irony.
Go on.
You make a neighborhood greener, maybe add a park. Improve the environment, which sounds great.
Of course. Who wouldn't want that?
But then property values shoot up, rents rise, and the original residents, often lower-income communities, the very people may be meant to benefit.
They get priced out, displaced.
Exactly. It's a real kick in the teeth, almost. You try to do good, and you inadvertently harm the vulnerable.
You mentioned the High Line in New York City.
Yeah, a classic example. Beautiful park, hugely popular, but studies linked it to, what, a 35% jump in nearby property values?
35%. Wow. That changes a neighborhood fundamentally.
It really does. Shifts the demographics. So it raises this huge ethical question, doesn't it?
If greening causes displacement, is it actually just sustainable development?
Right. And it's not isolated. Look at Rio de Janeiro. Preparing for big events, they removed over 900 families to build a park. Systemic stuff.
So equity can't be an afterthought. It has to be baked in from the start.
Absolutely non-negotiable. You need things like anti-displacement policies right alongside the green initiatives before you even break ground.
And it's not just about new projects causing trouble, is it? There's this other concept, the pioneer's paradox.
Yeah, that's also important. It's where even celebrated, genuinely innovative early models end up having unforeseen negative consequences down the line.
Like Curitiba in Brazil. Famous for its bus rapid transit, the BRT.
Exactly. Revolutionized transport, incredibly efficient for moving people. But over time, it channeled development along those bus corridors, pushing up land values there, and arguably worsening social inequality between different parts of the city.
So even success stories can have a shadow side.
They can. Or look at Copenhagen, widely seen as a climate leader, right?
Definitely.
But they had to abandon their big 2025 carbon neutrality goal. Why? Partly because they were relying too heavily on carbon capture tech that just wasn't ready, wasn't proven at scale.
So putting too many eggs in one technological basket? Or maybe being a bit too optimistic about a quick fix?
Precisely. It shows the danger of a narrow focus. Or maybe, techno-optimism. And this applies to new tech, too.
Like using AI to manage green spaces.
Sounds smart, right? Optimize watering, placement. But what if the data used to train the AI has biases? It might inadvertently favor wealthier areas or miss the needs of certain communities.
Hadn't thought of that. Algorithmic bias in urban planning.
Or think about urban microgrids for energy resilience. Great idea for power outages. But who controls them? Who pays? Is the access and cost fair for everyone? Energy justice becomes critical.
Okay, so we've seen the implementation gap, green gentrification, the pioneer's paradox, tech complexities. It feels a bit daunting.
It can seem that way.
Given all this, what are the real takeaways? Yes. How do we actually build cities that are sustainable in the true sense, fair for everyone?
Well, it seems to come down to a few key things. First, plans need to be realistic and diverse, not just one magic bullet.
Right.
Second, strong accountability. That means transparent monitoring. Are we actually doing what we said we'd do, and who is benefiting?
Makes sense. And third,
genuine participation, bringing citizens into the planning process. Look at Seoul. They had success with a citizen-led initiative to reduce energy consumption. bottom-up works.
So integrating the environmental goals with social justice, guided by adaptable leadership, and involving the public.
That's the goal. It's about knitting it all together systemically, learning from both the wins and the stumbles globally.
So it really feels like the true green revolution isn't just about the tech or the trees. It's more fundamental.
It seems so. It's about building cities that are, at their core, just and equitable for everyone who lives there.
Which leaves us with a pretty big thought, doesn't it?
I think so. How might our very idea, our definition of a green city, need to fundamentally shift if we're serious about putting equity first?